This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by Baker Books, presenting On Reading Well by Karen Swallow Pryor, a book on how reading great literature has the power to cultivate virtue. Available wherever books are sold. This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen. Today's podcast is a roundtable discussion with TGC Council members Tim Keller, Don Carson, and Stephen on what is missing in the way Christians are being discipled today.
So what is missing in how Christians are being catechized or discipled today?
It is so comprehensive a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what might be missing will depend a little bit on the denomination or the heritage. I mean, there are some elements of evangelicalism that emphasize conversion and then have not really thought through what comes next, or it's just some sort of loose small group Bible studies, a bit subjective. And other parts of the current evangelical heritage still go in for catechizing. And whether it's the Heidelberg Confession or the New City Catechism that has been circulated by Redeemer and by the Gospel Coalition and so on. And if by catechizing we mean more than simply learning a corpus of confessional truth, but how it works out in life, then there are some groups that are talking about how this works out in our relationships with the poor or with people of other race or whatever. That's part of discipleship as well, isn't it? It's not just knowing stuff. It's doing stuff in conformity with Christ. And so, it's a pretty comprehensive question when you ask what's missing today. But at the risk of sticking my neck out and saying what's missing today anyway, then, I think that in the Western world, when we do discipleship, it tends to be very privatized. To build up individual confidence in Christ, which is a good thing, and individual self-examination, which is a good thing, but relatively shallow thinking about the church, about relationships, about the social dynamics of forgiving one another, bearing with one another, shaping one another as iron sharpens iron, and so on. How many Christian virtues are shaped under the cross in the context of fellow believers, what it means to do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith, and from there touching the good of the city and the good of a broken world all around us and letting our light shine before others. I think there's relatively little thought given in those areas, provided you're not sleeping with your PA and you're not cheating on the books. And reading your Bible, you're okay. And I think that there's a more comprehensive vision of life than that.
So definitely there needs to be some level of biblical and theological content in our catechesis, but you would agree that we're not going to just be able to run a program and disciple people that way, right?
Yeah, certainly. I do think that in the past, whether we knew it or not, we didn't know it, that we relied on our culture to be so much of the background of Western culture was Christian already. So the very idea that there are moral absolutes, the very idea that the Bible is a trustworthy book, there was so much background that we assumed that the culture did for us. Almost discipleship was like a finishing school. Now I do think you can't assume that kids coming up have any of the basic intellectual furniture of even believing in an absolute right and wrong, for example. So I do come from the Presbyterian tradition where we do use the catechism, but I do think the catechism tends to say, here's how we are, let's just say, Protestant rather than Catholic or Reformed rather than non-Reformed. And we are going to have to find ways of saying, well, what does it mean to even, you know, who is the God? You know, we tend to almost assume that when people hear the word God, that they think of a personal God, an infinite God, even a holy God. I do think in the past, people had a better understanding of God, even if they had never gone to church. And now they may have no real good concept of that. So it and also, as you hint, I don't think you can just have a class anymore. You actually have to think of every single thing that you do at the church as formative. Mm-hmm. So, everything, your worship service, everything, the preaching, it's all, it's going to take everything.
So if we are living in a moral landscape and there is some sort of a dominant story in our culture, how can we lead our people in our churches to be able to think Christianly about everything and to be able to respond to that dominant prevailing story?
Let me back off just a wee bit. I think that it helps some Christians to compare Paul's approach in Acts 13 when he's preaching in a synagogue in Pisidian Antioch, and therefore dealing with people who have a common shared background, and Paul preaching in Athens in Acts 17, where he's dealing with pagans. So think of the common ground he had in Acts 13. Monotheism, for example, absolute right and wrong, the nature of sin, what's wrong with the universe, history going somewhere, a final heaven to be gained, a final hell to be feared, the nature of salvation being tied up with being right with God, the notion of a covenant people, all of those things were given. So he spends no time on them at all in Acts chapter 13. He moves very quickly to the resurrection. Jesus truly is the Messiah. And so on.
He even says there's sins that you couldn't be justified through the law. So he gets the justification.
Yeah, he gets the justification.
In Acts 13.
And what it is and what it isn't. And reference to the law, that's all given. Right. It's all given.
But in Acts 17, he hardly even gets to Christ.
He just barely gets to
the doctrine of God.
Correct.
That's right.
Doctrine of God, doctrine of creation, doctrine of sin, idolatry, so on, and finally introduces history is going somewhere, and even he has to talk about the aseity of God. It's not as if God needs anything. None of that would make
sense. Because they did not have an understanding of the biblical God
at
all.
No, that's right. The gods of the pagans were not independent. I mean, they had all their lusts and fears and hopes and finiteness and so on. And so religion was necessarily a bit of a swap. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Mm. And so he has to build that entire framework before he gets to Jesus.
Yeah.
Now that's rather striking. So it's not that we have an easy grasp of theology and then we have to worry a lot about practice. The theology itself has been snookered. It's been taken over. And preachers of some decades of experience with memories of the culture in the past and so on sometimes forget how little of what they're saying is actually clicking with the Gen Zs.
Right.
I mean, it's they're being heard differently, and so it's a comprehensive doctrinal and outworking discipleship that needs to be done, and that needs to affect preaching and teaching and Sunday school classes and everything else.
It does mean longer processes.
It does
mean more patience.
Yeah.
It does mean being way more deliberate, and it does mean every part of your church has to be seen as discipling, rather than it being a department.
Yeah, I agree. It's not as if you have all your conversions over here and now we'll do discipleship. No. It doesn't even make sense in the contemporary world.
So discipleship is just not focusing on private personal piety, but also about helping people to have a framework for understanding how to engage culture.
And just to add one last thing. I do remember Navigator's old, I don't know if it Designed for Discipleship. It was a little six short volume. It was workbooks. I remember how little there was in there about the doctrine of God, almost nothing. And because they didn't, I mean, when it was put together, they just assumed that anybody they were dealing with, even brand new converts, you know, already understood all that stuff. We just can't assume that anymore.
Sorry. Can't assume a thing.
Very helpful. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Learn more and join us at tgc.org/donate.